Hey y'all, before we get into today's episode, I just wanted to briefly talk about ways you can help those affected by Hurricane Laura, which made landfall earlier yesterday. Firstly, before you donate, check Charity Navigator or GuideStar to make sure the organization receiving your donation is legit. Like these. You can donate supplies or make monetary donations to the Cajun Navy in Louisiana. Just go to CajunNavyRelief.com. You can also donate to the Community Foundation of Southwest Louisiana at foundationswla.org. They'll use the donations to give to the communities affected by Laura and other organizations providing relief to those communities. You can donate to the Houston Food Bank at houstonfoodbank.org, where every dollar you donate actually provides three meals. You can also donate to Austin Disaster Relief to help the organization temporarily house people who were displaced by the storm at hotels in Austin, Texas. You can even donate nationally to the Red Cross, the AmeriCares Foundation, United Way of Southwest Louisiana, All Hands and Hearts, and many others. These communities, while far apart, are still part of the interweaving cultures and peoples of the Southeast that is the backdrop of Out in the Woods. So please, donate what you can. Any and all help is a blessing. And to anyone out there listening who may be affected by Laura, I want to personally say my heart is with you, and whatever you need at my disposal, please do not hesitate to reach out. Hello, everybody. It's me, your favorite bottom from the boonies, Jacob. And welcome to the first official episode of Out in the Woods Southern Sweet Tea. I have a special guest with me today, if you want to introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Zane. I am Jacob's best friend, and I'm very excited to be here.
Not as excited as I am to have you here.
Oh my goodness.
So let's get that teapot steaming, and we'll start pouring the tea here in just a sec. Here we are. We are not in the woods.
Not at all.
We are in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, which, it's a little concrete, a little country. It's definitely not woods. I'm actually in a two-bedroom, two-bath apartment, upstairs, downstairs townhouse, and this upstairs bedroom that my best friend Will isn't using is called Out in the Woods Hattiesburg. That's our studio in Hattiesburg, so it's official TM. And that's where we're recording our first official Southern Sweet Tea episode. Okay, everybody get your teacups ready. So Zane.
Yes, Jacob.
What's some tea?
I don't know. I'm freaking out currently because this is my first time physically seeing you post bariatric surgery.
Yes.
And there's already so much less of you to you.
Yeah, he keeps staring at me and licking his lips.
Absolutely.
No, but it is different. I've moved on to soft foods. That's the part of the diet I'm on, so I no longer have to eat, like, pureed foods. Like, I mean, I was doing good with the pureed foods, like, baby food consistency, basically, but I indulged in eggs, and eventually, like, this past week, I've just been doing nothing but eggs and the sleeves of the Starkist tuna.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
The sweet and spicy girl. Bitch.
The garlic herb one's pretty good, though.
The which one?
The garlic
herb. Garlic herb, yes. I wish they would do a teriyaki one.
Oh, that would be so good.
It would be so, so good. And yeah, so I haven't really looked at the scale to see what I've lost. But
who needs it?
today actually is a month since Out in the Woods premiered. And
shoot.
Yeah, it's a very special day. I didn't even realize that until like I woke up and I looked today and I was like, oh wait, like
I've been doing this for 30 days.
Yeah, like, oh my God, this is more commitment than most of my relationships.
I want to be mad, but you're not entirely wrong.
Oh my God, wait, no. She knows what's up. But yeah, no, it's been like a month, and honestly, like, it's really, I know this sounds like super like cheesy or whatever, or pretentious. I'm much less pretentious than I used to be, but
can confirm.
But it's really rewarding doing this. I mean, listeners out there, I just want you to know, thank you. Like, seriously, I know it's only been a month and anything could happen at this point, but it's been a very good month. I've really loved doing this. I feel like I have, like, a mission now, you know?
And just speaking from, like, the point of view of a listener, I've really enjoyed every episode you've done so far, so.
Thank you.
You know, doing good.
Thank you. Now, speaking of listeners, you know, it was very short notice, so listeners, I'm sorry. Don't feel bad if you wanted to say something and you just didn't know what to say. But I did ask for some, like, listener questions, like an AMA kind of thing.
Yeah, so we
can do that. We can definitely do that in the next one. But I will say, I did receive a message. Let me preface this by saying that, first of all, I made a Grindr account for Out in the Woods. Don't judge me, y'all. Don't judge me. I did make a Grindr account for Out in the Woods just because, like, that's the best kind of advertising there is. It's like free real estate.
Right, yeah. Best way to get to the gays is, you know.
Directly.
Down in their gutter.
Striking their heart. No, but it got taken down. Grindr destroyed it. Grindr
like,
you have violated our terms and conditions.
You are not a hung top looking for young twinks.
I'm not a daddy looking for no fats, no femmes, no Asians. But I also, so with Growler, I took a more, and yes, I do have a Growler. Stop. I do have a Growler, and I, on my regular profile, I just changed my name to, read description or whatever. I don't remember what I said, but anyway, the description now has everything about the podcast, where to find it, this and this and that. So I right. kind of fly under the radar.
Round the way shady.
Yeah. Roundabout shady. Yeah. Thankfully though, someone did message me on there.
Okay.
And, his name is Carrie. Hi, Carrie, if you're listening to this.
Hi, Carrie. Thank you for being the only one to respond.
Yes. Even though I don't think he has gotten to the point where he knew that we were taking listener questions. So thank you for being proactive, honestly. I appreciate it. And yeah. So I woke up to a text message from Growler this morning. And usually, you know, for me, that's like some schlubby dude.
Right.
Who's probably like 80, just looking for a good time with a fat boy.
Okay. Yeah.
But I was very pleasantly surprised. The first thing I see is, I'm enjoying your podcast so far. And I'm like, thank you. Like, look. So he said, I'm born, bred here, 42 years, and everything you mentioned in the beginning episode about the South, especially rural, the rural South, is completely accurate, and I've been through it myself. If you have any questions from a gay man who's never been closeted, I'm an open book. Don't worry, I'm not hitting you up to get on your podcast. Just saying hi and love to chat and have stories. But y'all, I want you to know, that is exactly how you get on my podcast. I'm gonna have him on one day, I swear to God. But yeah, it's just important to me that this is relatable to people, and that this is something that people really feel is true, because I don't want to project my experience onto other people.
You know? One of those, like, your experience is not universal sort of things.
Right. But also, like, I want these people out here to know, like, this is what it's like. Like,
it really is what it's like.
Like, stereotypes are there, and they are there for a reason when it comes to this.
100%.
So Zane, you're not really originally from the South, though, are you?
I am not. Born in Kennewick, Washington, in 1996, and we moved down here when I was very, very young, so I really don't have a lot of memories of the North, and we moved to Texas first, and then moved here. It was a little bit of a here, then Texas, then here. My mom is from Picayune, and so we moved here when my mom got pregnant with my younger brother, so I was about 4 going on 5, and we've been here ever since. We, I guess, just couldn't afford to go back.
But if you could.
Oh, as soon as I can. yeah, Mississippi just does that to you, I guess.
It really does. I was born and bred here, too, and I can't afford to go back to Kennewick either.
I'll take you with me.
Okay.
Fine.
Actually, to our listener in Seattle, I know you're out there because Anchor Analytics tells me where all my listeners are from. To whichever listeners out there in Seattle are listening.
Hi, West Coast friends.
Please come get your boy.
Please rescue me.
So, yeah, and shout out to the Canadian listeners that we just added on, and the German listeners I checked today. We have people from Canada and Germany
That's
listening.
That's so cool.
And I don't know why they want to hear a fat queer boy lament about the South and being gay, but...
You know those, like, those moments where you're, like, you read stories or something like that, and it's, like, in no way relatable, but it's, like, yep, I feel that. I guess it's like that, probably.
Yeah. Like the Little Mermaid.
Right. 100%. Fish out of water. Yeah, totally.
Why would you ever kill the sea witch? She was just trying to get snatched.
She was just trying to do her thing, yeah.
She was trying. So listeners, I'm sorry, that it was so short notice, but next time, in the words of Tommy Wiseau, how's your sex life? Of course, not your actual sex life, but
I
you,
was about to say. I was going to say. I didn't prepare.
He didn't sign up for this. I locked the door before he walked in here. So you do have a boyfriend?
I do have a boyfriend. I have an amazing boyfriend who lives in Rockwall, Texas. Hi, Brendan.
Now, for listeners who are not familiar with the great state of Texas, is Rockwall near any major cities?
It is about an hour outside of Dallas. It's actually from what I've been told, it's one of the richest counties in Texas.
Really?
And it's, like, super bougie. They have, like, 2 Krogers, and Kroger isn't even, like, the fancy grocery store.
Jesus.
They have a chain called Tom Thumb, and it's pretty great.
I was gonna say, also, like, Dallas has they drill for oil out there, don't they? I'm pretty sure.
Sure.
I think that's, like, what the whole TV show Dallas was about, was, like, an oil tycoon. I'm pretty sure.
But yeah, okay.
Yeah. Zane doesn't watch a lot of TV and movies.
Ever.
Actually, one TV show that we did bond over, though, was Steven Universe.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay, for those of you that don't know out there, I am a grown-ass man that did watch all of Steven Universe.
Absolutely.
But it's, like, you know...
It teaches important lessons. It's got some bopping ass music.
It does.
And
it does.
Gay space rocks. Like, if you're queer in any facet, you need to experience Steven Universe in its entirety. Like, that's just
exactly.
It's gonna become a new requirement.
Exactly. We need to call the bureau immediately them to put that with their paperwork.
Absolutely.
So, like. Me and Zane both work in the service industry. Now, Zane, of course, has the distinct pleasure of being management retail.
Yeah, it is I've definitely come a long way since food service.
I am still in food service, although I will say I make very good money as a waiter. But no matter what we make, we always have to deal with the public. And... talking socioeconomically, scientifically, economically right now, the public is, they're doing something, especially down here in Mississippi.
Oh yeah, no, it's all pretty dumb. It's
okay, so Zane has broken the seal. Yes, it is in fact dumb. I was trying to avoid, but you just made me, okay,
leave it to me to be mean, yes.
Yes, okay, I really hate that the virus became politicized.
Yeah, 100%.
And down here, You know, you see a lot of Trump train masks 100%. whenever people are wearing masks. So let's talk about some Karen tea right now. So I know we already kind of have discussed some Karen tea earlier in the past couple of days, but it's like every single day there's a new Karen right now, right?
Yeah. They've skipped the concept of the Supreme, you know, when one begins to die off, another begins to step up. No, it's just every day they've killed off the last bitch and they're like, all right, it's my time.
It's unchained power.
Yeah.
It's unchained power. They don't even have to die now.
They're all linking up.
They are.
It's absolutely just gotten entirely too much. I have been spit on. I've had things thrown at me. I've been called stupid. A couple of slurs. Like, they're really getting into it. Most recently, I was very loudly told that I cannot force someone with medical issues to wear a mask, and that she claimed we were oppressing her. And it's like, oh, don't you just love that? Don't you just love that?
I know.
White women just really wanting to be, like, included.
Yeah.
Included in the oppression. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Especially considering, like, you walking around a store for 10, 15 minutes.
Right, 100%.
With a mask on to make sure that other people who are more susceptible to being hurt by this virus, you know, and that's another selfish thing about these people too, because a lot of people are like, well, if they don't want to get it, they just need to stay home. It's like, why are you limiting what somebody can do?
Right.
I mean, I understand to a degree the logic, but that is no excuse for you to just walk around willy-nilly spreading it around.
Right. And that's what I was going to say. I was like, it's a very self-centered thing where they have it in their brain that, like, because this is what I want and this is how I see things, like, this is how it is, and there is no telling me otherwise. It's very, I don't really know, like, the words for it, but it's like, they would rather other people who can easily get sick just not be able to do anything.
Yes.
Yeah, and like,
For the sake of them
not having to put a piece of cloth over their face for 10 minutes.
Yes.
You know, and they get the, oh, I can't breathe, and the I can't, but it's God. Like, really, dude, like, it's probably because you won't shut up.
Exactly.
Personal example, because I have to do a lot of talking, and like, in my position, I have to do a lot of talking, and those are the moments when I start to get like, I can't breathe, it's because I've been talking a lot, but if I just shut the fuck up for like 5 minutes... I'm good, and you will be good, I promise you, Karen.
Yeah, I, and that's the thing, I've been hosting because I can't lift over 10 pounds right now, so I can't wait tables right now.
Okay, yeah.
But I mean, I've been hosting for the past 2 weeks, and, you know, like, this weekend, I mean, they are packing restaurants right now, y'all. I mean, people are packing everywhere right now as though nothing is going on.
Right, y'all, stay the fuck home if you can.
Right, like,
please.
I mean, it's one thing, like, if you have an idea in mind of what you're going for, go fucking get it, and then go. Like,
yeah, go home.
It's not the time, now is not the time to window shop, but if you want to go out to a restaurant, that's fine. That's fine. But, like, just expect the fact that, like, you're going to be packed in there, because restaurants need money right now. So, despite the fact that they should be doing as much as they can to keep people as separated as they can, sometimes that's just not all going to cut it. But the thing is, like, people walk in without masks right now.
Yeah.
And as the host, I have to be like, hey, y'all, do you have your mask? And I've gotten, no, I don't have a mask. Like,
I don't have one, you can't make me.
And right. I'm just like, I told this one couple, I was like, all right, well, I have some for you here. You know, we have surgical masks up
right,
front.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and I started to hand it to them, and they're like, we're just walking to the bar. And it's like, you're just given, it spreads just like that. I mean, it doesn't take anything. Realty. Listeners, I had coronavirus. It was not fun. I do not think that I got it from a coworker. I think that I got it from a customer who was probably asymptomatic, or they had slight symptoms and just didn't give a fuck. Because, I mean, they don't have to wear a mask at the table, which is fine. I mean, you have to eat or whatever, but, like, it's not fun. Like, the concept of, like, oh, well, I mean, it'll be fine. Like, the reason that, like, they make you quarantine for 2 weeks is because when you start experiencing symptoms, you will experience symptoms for two straight fucking weeks.
Yeah. And it's like, sure, wearing the mask is uncomfortable, but you know what's more uncomfortable? Having the fucking virus.
Exactly. I mean, having the virus is more uncomfortable than having to tell Karen to put her fucking mask on and have her glare at you.
Right, yeah.
Or ask to speak to your manager.
Right.
But in Zane's, I mean, in your and case,
I am the manager.
You are the manager.
I have 100% been told, you know, oh, go get me somebody who runs this here, because this is obviously above your pay grade. You know, you're just a lowly worker, like verbatim. You are just lowly. You are just a worker. And I was like, actually. Sorry to tell you, it's me. Hi, it's me. I am Mr. Manager.
My God. So, yeah, Karen's be wildin' right now. Karen's and Ken's, because there are men who will shit their fucking pants the minute you're like,
hey, can you put on a mask?
Yeah, like, literally.
Can you put this 4-inch piece of paper over your face?
Right, like, I saw one dude that was wearing a mask that was like, this is stupid, and I'm like, look, bitch. First of all, you're still wearing a goddamn mask right now, so you saying this is stupid, if you think that, then you're stupid, bitch. Right. Second of all, it's not stupid. Third of all, I wish that you could look at all those people in Italy who lost family members and or died and just be like, 100%. Me having to wear this mask is stupid. Like,
oh, yeah, no.
All those people in New York, all those people in Texas when they had to bring out the trucks. Here. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like,
well, like, because it's like, I have lost people that I know, you know, like, older people and, mm-hmm. like, no, none of my family, because I wouldn't care anyway, but, sorry, Donovan's, y'all
matricide. No,
but like I've lost people I know, and like, you think loss sucks, but loss without closure is worse. Like, nothing sucks quite like losing somebody and not getting to go to a funeral and not getting to like mourn with the other people that cared about this person. Like, that sucks, dude.
Yeah,
like, and for just that alone, put the fucking mask on. Like, it's not that hard.
Right. Listeners, I'm really sorry that, like, we're like this, but honestly, like, it's 2020, y'all. Get used to it.
Yeah,
we still got 4 months left of this shit, so. Right. I mean, and honestly, it's one of those things where it's like, you think that magically 2021, you know, like, the clock's gonna strike 12, and you're gonna, like, everything's just gonna, like, rainbows are gonna shoot out of the sky, yeah. And everything's gonna get better.
Bob Ross is gonna come back.
Right, but honestly, like, y'all, like, it's gonna be a while before everything's really, like, normal again, I think.
Yeah, well, and it's like, I don't think we will ever go back to, like, normal.
Yes.
We'll have to, like, figure out a new normal.
Right.
At least in my opinion. but no, on you saying the clock striking 12, I saw a video recently that was, like, you know, them, like, at the end of 2020, and they're, like, counting down the minutes, and then the clock goes to 11:60.
Yes.
I love that.
But that would happen. Well, I mean, we really are in the Twilight Zone right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, no, it's 100%. Nothing feels real.
I think America specifically, because, you know, I mean, especially with the virus engine, I think the virus is just, like, a microcosmic metaphor for America's attitude about things, because the rest of the world is not dealing with the virus anymore,
yeah, they took it seriously. And it was about health.
Yes.
That's the thing, and, like, I've gotten into a couple of arguments. I try not to argue about this, but, like,
a gay man that says he doesn't like to argue. A bitch.
I have gotten into a few arguments that, where they tried to make it political, and I was like, and they're like, see, all these other countries, they've already passed it. It's already better. And I was like, yeah, because the issue is people's health and not people's political beliefs, skin color,
yes,
that sort of thing. Like, though it may have happened in those places. I mean, because I don't want to sit here and say, like, over there, they're perfectly not racist and not,
no,
you know.
No, because it's political. Not, they're not utopias, but.
Right. But it's like, they took it as a matter of the public's health, and the people, the public, you know, took it seriously.
Yes.
I saw that a lot of studies came out about, like, Japan and China and, like, Asian countries versus America, and it's, like, Confucius?
Yes.
The countries that abide by Confucius's teachings, really focus on, like, the many as opposed to the self, which is why they wear masks and a lot of things.
They were already wearing masks.
Yeah. They've been wearing masks since influenza.
Yeah.
Influenza has, and they've been doing it for years and they never complain.
Right.
You know, but yeah, it really is, it's about consideration for everyone else around you as opposed to, well, these are my rights and fuck you.
Right.
You know, and then here that is very much a thing.
And yeah, and that's the thing. And that's just like, I mean, once again, it's a microcosm because America is that way about everything.
Everything is a political.
We're the best yeah. at this. We're doing this better. Yeah, like.
And then the minute you point out flaws, oh, you know, it's cross political parties. It's their fault. Right. You know, and it's like, it's never, okay, let me take responsibility for like what is happening and like, in consideration of others, let me make this change.
Right.
And I don't think it ever will be.
And that is why you have programs like Out in the Woods that are here.
We're always here for you.
Because we don't give a fuck. We're gonna say it. We just... You have to have a space for somebody to be able to be heard. Because voices like ours, despite what some people may think, get drowned out.
A lot of the time.
And not only the stigma of being gay in the South, but also the stigma of being from the South to the rest of the country.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Because that is a lot of the things I remember being told about the South were, like, you know, that everyone's barefoot.
Right. Y'all have plumbing?
Yeah, like, y'all have three teeth. Y'all have, you know, it's all, like, incest and tractors. And I was very surprised that most people here had more than three teeth, which it's like saying that now, it's super, super silly. But as a child, I was like fully like, oh my goodness, like, you know,
right.
These people are going to be terrifying. I'm going to hate it here. I hate it here, but nobody's right. terrifying.
Right. No, I mean, of course, I've lived here all my life. So most of my friends are. I mean, most of my friends are Southerners, so, like,
right.
I mean, because we kind of band together to,
yeah.
Whenever you're progressive in the South, you immediately have to find someone to gravitate to.
Yeah,
so that you don't go crazy.
Some other like-minded person or people.
I mean, realty, whenever I moved back home to my very conservative family, we're not going to get into that. We cannot, because that tea is too hot and it will burn all of our tongues. But when I had to move home, you know, to live with my very conservative family, all I really had was Will, and then I could call you,
mm-hmm.
and I could talk to other friends that I had. Hey, Katya, baby, I love you.
Oh my gosh, Katya, I love you.
Katya, please, please, let's hang out soon. But the thing is, I didn't really have anybody, and I started going crazy.
100%.
Because I was, you know, there's a difference between having a conservative family and then walking into the house and Fox News being on the TV.
Right. You know? A difference between having a conservative family and then having it constantly bashed over your
yes.
head.
Yes. And the thing is, like, I understand that, like, radicalism, whatever, it can come from both sides, but, mm-hmm. like, it is not pleasant whenever you are the only one who recognizes that there is someone foaming at the mouth over asylum seekers yeah. on TV, you know?
Yeah, it's never pleasant to experience radicalism especially when you're standing on the other side of the fence.
Yes.
But, I mean, it can be just as hard when you're on their side of the fence because you look at them and you're like, wow, you're being a lot.
You're making this hard for us right now.
Yeah. But when you're on the other side of the fence, it almost feels unsafe.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, I actually had a very hard time, like, When I first started my job that I'm working at now, I love it. You know, everyone there, it really is like a family. I know everyone says that, but like, it's like a family you have to marry into, though.
I do not agree. your experience is not universal.
Right. My experience is not universal because they always tell you that when you first get there so that you work harder.
Yeah.
And then by the time you're just working hard and making money, you just ignore the fact that you're not really like a family.
You're not family. You're jaded and bitter and you hate everyone.
But yeah, at this job, though, it's really great. But a lot of the people there, too, were conservative. Now, for most of my, you know, I lived away from home for about 7-8 years. My last 2 years of high school, I was at the School of the Arts in Brookhaven, which we already did a whole take, audience. I just want you to let you know of me talking about it. So I'll just condense what I said into, like, one little sentence, which is, Brookhaven, get your shit together. You are not as great as you think you are.
That is a lot more polite.
Yes. However, then I moved to Hattiesburg, and Hattiesburg is, like, a big warm hug of a community, you know,
comparatively speaking. Yeah.
Yes. Well, yeah. And you know, we have, like, I guess because there's a college campus, you know, it's a learning environment, people are more open here, people are far more liberal here. So I mean, and you still have, like, those flag people that stand outside USM protesting.
Yeah, if you've ever driven by USM.
Yeah.
What is it, on Sundays they do it?
Yeah, it's always a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, if you've ever driven by USM on a Sunday, you've seen them.
But for the most part, it's very liberal here.
Yeah, it's like a little blue dot in a sea of red.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I vibe with that because, I don't know, in my experience, liberals, to a degree, are not, I don't even know how to put it. It's like, you know, there are snowflakes or whatever.
Right, snowflakes.
But, I mean, there are snowflakes on the right, too. The right like to act like they're big fucking tough guys. But, like, they get butthurt about someone saying happy holidays. So, like,
or being told to wear a mask.
Or being told to wear a fucking mask. So, I don't know. I find that I have, in my experience, everyone around me in this liberal setting is much less butthurt and angry about everything.
Yeah.
Like, even when it comes to Trump, like, they don't, nobody is sitting around and just saying fake things about Trump. Like, whenever Obama was president and I was living in a conservative area where people were like, he wasn't even born here, he's a damn Muslim. Like,
right. Yeah.
I never heard anything like that about Donald Trump. If people are getting mad around, you know, if he is brought up in conversation in a liberal setting, like I have been in, it's like, well, you know, I read in the Washington Post, or, oh, did you see that New York Times article? Or,
right,
I read in Huffington Post that his, you know, he did that. And so, like, that's what kind of makes the difference for me. It's not someone that's like,
yeah, they don't get quite as ravenous about it. It's a little more level-headed, particularly, like, here in Hattiesburg, because, like, I mean, I live just south of Hattiesburg, and I work here. And everyone there is super, like, my president, you know, like, foaming at the mouth, crazed look in their eyes, waving the Trump flag until their arms fall off.
Right.
And, yeah, it's a very, very strange, like, difference in just a few short miles.
Right. So, like, living in that environment, it did for a while there take a toll on my mental health, because I just, it's just weird being around someone, not necessarily my parents, maybe some other people in my family that I'm not going to mention, but, you know,
I might mention people,
oh my God, people that just are fanatical.
Yeah.
I mean, really and truly fanatical about I'm not even going to say politics, about one single man.
Yeah, one single man, and a little bit politics, but more so, like, their perception of it.
Right, and that was part of what made it so hard to come out. I came out when I was living away from home, but it's, like, it's unpredictable.
I was there.
Yeah, you were? Oh my God, you were there. He was not there for my coming out, but he was there the minute I got home, and he was the first person I saw. I ran up the staircase outside the apartment complex, and I was playing Born This Way by Lady Gaga, and he knew that it had happened.
Yeah. It was a very much, like, walked out, saw you, red-faced, playing the Lady Gaga album, and I was like, come here, baby.
Right, and that's the thing. Like, most of the reaction from my close family was one of, like, well, this isn't what we really wanted. You know, we don't really necessarily agree with it. Right. But okay. We love you, you know. Or, you know, one family member that lives right next door, you know, doesn't want me to go to hell, you know.
Yeah. There's always the, I'm concerned you for know, your soul.
Exactly, you know. And once again, it's just whenever I'm in a liberal environment, no one blinks a fucking eye whenever you're like, well, yeah. Yeah, I'm gay. Like,
they're like, yeah, okay, cool. Like,
yeah, me too. Everyone's a little gay. Yeah, exactly. But like, here, it's like, well, you know, you say that it's natural for your feelings, but what if I wanted to cheat on my husband? That's a natural feeling, but that doesn't make it right, you know? So, once again, it's just those things that you get surrounded by.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's crazy. And I can't wait to live away from home again.
Yeah, no, definitely. And, like, and it's always interesting to hear about, like, that kind of dynamic, because I didn't have that experience mm-hmm. coming out and stuff like that. But it is, like, that is kind of the par for the course coming out experience for most of the people down here. Like, my family was super, like, okay, yeah, whatever. Okay, I remember the first, like, family member I came out to was my now late grandmother. Mm. And I was on a family vacation in Florida, and she was back here. And I called her, and just very teary-eyed, because I grew up with watching, you know, coming out on TV and hearing the stories.
Yeah.
I remember I told her, and I finally got it off my chest, and I was, like, bracing for impact. And she was like, you mean to tell me that you interrupted NCIS to tell me shit I already knew? Oh, my
God.
And she was like, have I ever treated you different? Have I ever loved you less? Nope. Okay, cool. Don't ever interrupt my show again. Have a good time. Click.
My God.
And I was like, oh.
Oh, Barbara.
Okay, cool. Love you, Barb.
Rest in peace.
Rest in pieces.
Oh, my God.
No, but she was great. And that's kind of been, like, the run-of-the-mill experience for me. My mom was super, like, my mom was raised down here very Southern Baptist. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, in being very worried about what her parents would think or her mother would think.
Yeah.
She, you know, at first was very concerned and was like, well, you know, I don't want you. But then very quickly that faded into, like, my mom was in my corner, like, it, you know, my best friend.
Right.
Ready to go to war for anybody that has shit to say. And then I only recently came out to my dad, like, within the past 2 years.
I remember that. Yeah. Yeah.
He was just like, okay. Whatever.
Actually, well, and also, here's some more tea, speaking of coming out. You also discovered a completely other facet about yourself.
Yeah, I recently came out as non-binary, typically use they, them pronouns.
Which I'm so sorry. I used he, him, and she earlier.
No, it's okay. Well, you use both, so it balances out.
Yeah.
No, but it's a fairly, like, recent thing for me to ask people to use, like, they, them pronouns. I've been non-binary for a really long time, but I was always of the mindset of, like, I don't care what people call me. I don't, you know, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
It wasn't until, like, the quarantine started and I had a lot of time to myself
mm-hmm.
that I really started looking at, like, oh, well, when people call me he, him, it kind of, like, makes me feel like shit, but, you know, I guess that's just how it is. And then I was like, no, actually, people, if they love you, will, you
know, yeah,
make that attempt, make that effort. And that's really all I care about, is, like, people making the effort.
Right.
And it's an adjustment, definitely, with any pronoun change, name change.
Right.
Like, even now for me, like, when people do use the right pronouns, it's super weird for me to be like, oh, they, them. Oh, shit, they're talking about me. That's me, you know?
Well, it's like I told you whenever you came out to me, you know, it's one of those things where I never really gendered you. It's kind of one of those things where it's like, he is male presenting. He's androgynous, but he is male presenting. And then you were like, well, I just want to let you know I'm non-binary. And I'm like, That makes sense.
Yeah. I get that a lot of like, oh yeah, okay, I get that. And I am super male presenting, you know, with the beard and all that.
Right.
Mostly because I'm lazy.
Right.
But yeah, no, that was a huge thing too for a really long time about wanting to look androgynous and act androgynous, and like there were certain things that I didn't want to like and I didn't want to, you know, talk about because it's like, oh, that's gonna gender me either way. And now I'm just like, who gives a fuck?
I think the moral of the story, well, not the moral of the story, but like ultimately, people out there, if anyone's like questioning their gender or questioning their sexuality or anything like that, it's just like, why don't you just do what makes you happy? Like
in the moment, yeah.
Yeah, like
do what makes you happy right now, and if that changes, cool, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Like, once again, I mentioned earlier watching Steven fucking Universe. Like, I watched Steven Universe at the same time I was binge watching The Sopranos. So like it's not all in one box. It's what I'm saying. Like, it's not all a category. And I just got a message on Grindr, everybody. Hold on. It's the Sweet Tea episode, so we're opening Grindr messages when we get them.
Okay, definitely.
Okay, let's see.
I don't have Grindr, so it's all going to be Jacob.
Hi, I'm having a sex party. Would you like to join us? Watch videos from past party. Oh, it's spam.
Oh, no.
But, okay, I did earlier while we were on break, I will say, I did get a photo from BAD, 27 years old, on Grindr, and let's just say things are living large. Although it looks a little, I don't know, chapped at the tip. Would you say?
I would say that. Could
but
use
perfect form. I mean, it really. I mean, they should make a mold of this for dildo companies.
Oh, 100%. That primo.
Yeah. let's talk about Grindr.
Okay.
I know that, once again, I know that you don't have it, but you have had it. You have had it, bitch. Yeah. Every gay man has had Grindr at least once.
100%.
So, why do we keep putting ourselves through Grindr? Or rather, why do, I mean, I guess you don't, but like,
no. Why? I haven't done Grindr for a very long time, but I personally, I just think it bored him.
Yes.
It's boredom.
Yes.
And particularly in this area, like, while it is super liberal and it's super, you know, accepting, I guess, that's not quite the right word, but we're getting there. There's still, you would get a lot of, like, I don't really know a lot of gay people here.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do, they're in relationships. Like, the only, like, out and loud gay people I know are either people I've met from Grindr or people like I've known, you know, personally.
Yes.
Or like they're in relationships and they're like, oh, they're that couple. There's that couple. Yeah. You know, those are the most of the gay men I know here and pretty much everywhere else. I don't know a lot of, you know, I don't know if I were in the position where I was single and looking, I don't know who I would go to, you know, to get that straight up. I would have to go through, like, Grindr, Tinder, those sorts of things.
Right.
Because that's where it's like, okay, we are here for this express purpose.
Yes.
And, here's your catalog, you know?
Exactly, exactly.
So, yeah, it's just really just a boredom catalog.
It really is. Like, you know, when you it kind of clicked whenever you said that, because, like, when you think about boredom eating, you know, it's something you're bored, you have nothing better to do.
Right.
Everyone has a tiny little void they like to fill, and it always comes up whenever you're bored. So literally, like, scroll through Grindr, oh, maybe I'll get lucky, you know, like.
Right. It's the equivalent of, like, with boredom eating, of, like, going to McDonald's because you don't want to make chicken nuggets. So you're going to Grindr because you don't want to jerk off again.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
It's very much that.
Exactly. I always end up, you know, having to make my own in this metaphor.
always making my own chicken nuggets.
Mostly because, you know, once again, I live at home.
Yeah, you can't exactly host.
Yeah. but even then, like, in the Metro Jackson area, honey, in the middle of Florence, Mississippi, honey, do I really want to go to someone who's hosting? Like, who knows where I might end up?
A little trailer shack.
But, you know, that's another thing, you know, I talked about in the first episode, a lot of closeted gay men are on Grindr, especially in the rural South. A lot of men that I said in that episode, you know, I felt like it was a level of, like, internalized homophobia, but, you know, to a certain degree, too, I feel like there's a fear there, too, that has internalized itself.
Well, I knew a lot of, like, a lot of people from, like, where I went to school or, like, just other, like, places where it's been predominantly straight men have, like, have talked to me and or people that I know about, like, you know, having a little more homoerotic feelings or curiosities or that kind of stuff, but they're so afraid of, like, losing their position.
Yes.
Because it's, like, a huge thing here in the South is, like, reputation and, like, where you fit in the hierarchy of your specific small town. And there's a lot of fear in, like, losing the support and the position and the reputation if you were to be doing something that isn't by the standards of, like, the majority populace in that small town is okay. You risk losing their support, their favor, and all that sort of thing. So there's a huge fear about, like, being gay. And I remember, like, because I went to a relatively easy high school. Mm-hmm. Like, they weren't super, it wasn't super conservative. It wasn't super liberal. But, you know, I remember, like, going through middle school and high school there, like, I wasn't ever really, like, gay bashed. And it wasn't until, like, later that I found out why, but, there was a senior, when I was in about, like, I guess the 8th grade, maybe, there was a senior who was very flamboyantly gay out there, you know, big old queen.
Yeah.
And, the story goes that apparently after a football game, some people tried to gay bash him, and he just absolutely whooped the shit out of them.
Hell yeah.
Like, completely. And he... as, like, you know, police showed up, or, like, the security, the police officers at the football game showed up and, like, you know, was, like, carting everybody away, he was like, remember this, we're all like this, we all have to be like this. And so it's like, I guess there's, like, that fear of being gay bashed.
Yes.
Like, and I guess I just, because it never really happened to me, I never really had that fear. But, yeah, there's a lot of fear surrounding, like, being gay if you're the hometown good old boy.
Right.
You know? And so, yeah, they do be sneaking on the grinder.
They
and the
do.
Scruff.
Even though, like, they always use a picture of them directly. And it's always the the downward facing boomer pose. And by that I mean they're holding their phone, like, right at their belly
level,
button, and they're looking down at the phone camera. Yeah.
Or it's a headless torso. They love a headless torso.
Oh, they love a headless torso with
showing,
like,
off their mediocre six pack.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, they're like, oh, like they're six pack in a leather bag.
Yeah. or they also love, like, the ICP logo.
Yes.
As their background, or the, what is the white face? Was it Misfits?
Yes.
Is it Misfits? Yeah,
but you know what?
That.
You know what? I found that a lot of older country gays are gays for Trump. It's really...
Oh, wow.
That I have met some older country gays. And I'm not saying all. I'm not saying all, I promise. But a lot of older country gays are very conservative, you know, and you can kind of, you already kind of get that vibe whenever you, you know, you hear a lot of older gays talking about, like, oh, well, I don't want no sissy, you know, like, I'm a man and I want a man. It's like, okay, you know, like, honey, get ready, because there's more out there than just men who are men. Like, what even, you know, the definition is kind of blurred now, but that's neither here nor there. Let's move on after the break.
All right, let's do it.
And we're back. Zane, that anchor ad,
it was moving.
Thank you.
I'm in tears right now.
Thank you. I'm crying because you're crying. So we were just talking about older gays and, you know, especially around here, how they're kind of closet and they're kind of really conservative.
Yeah.
That leads me directly into something that we planned, but we haven't started yet.
Yes, I'm very excited.
So when I contacted Zane, because in my heart of hearts, if I was to have a co-host permanently, it would be Zane Donovan. So when I did, I knew that at the very least for a Southern Sweet Tea episode, I had to have Zane.
And here I am.
And here he is. And so whenever I made that call, I went ahead and let him know. I was like, I think one of the things that I want to do is let's ask each other questions.
Yes.
And so we each have 5 questions. Of course, we're gonna answer our own questions too, don't worry. But I, you know, we're gonna go back and forth. And yeah, you know, we'll see how much the tea boils with these questions. So I'm gonna go first.
Okay, let's go.
So, serious question.
Okay. Damn, already out of the gate.
We're out of the gate. Well, it was such a transition. I wouldn't have done it if it weren't for the old gays we were talking about.
Yeah, that's true.
So, first question to you, Zane. My love. What scares you the most about getting older?
What scares me the most about getting older is the idea that I will not be able to keep up. I grew up with a lot of old people, and it was always, like, nobody really understood me, because I was too young, too new, you know, and, that's one of the things that I really, like, freak out about when I think about getting older, is, like, I stop learning, and I stop, you know, understanding.
Yes.
Because understanding is, like, a huge thing with me. Mm-hmm. I just want to know, I just want to understand. And so that's one of the biggest things that bothers me about the idea of getting older, is that I wouldn't be able to, like, I never want to be the old person that's like, I just don't understand you kids, yes. You know?
Which, like, doesn't that already start creeping in, like, in your 20s, though?
Yeah,
like,
no, 100%. It took me forever to learn how to work TikTok.
Oh, my God.
I did not get it. I get it now.
Now that it's about to be banned.
Yeah, now that it's over. I love picking up a trend when it's dead.
Right. Zane got a Vine right before they canceled the app.
I really did. Oh, that's the bad thing.
Oh, my God.
I posted one Vine.
Oh, my God. What was it?
Something about girls that say yes in, like, actual conversation, because that was before yes was really, like, a big thing.
Right. That was whenever the gays owned it exclusively.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my answer to that question is, I am afraid of losing, how do you say it, like, the currency of youth. And by that I mean young people, while economically speaking, we don't have it a lot easier than older people.
Yeah.
Most of us don't. People are more willing to give you attention, right, and give you things you want and treat you well whenever you're young.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. And it also, too, there's, like, a lot more opportunity.
Yes.
I feel like a lot of, like, when I hear old people talk about their life, one of the things they talk about is, like, they feel like they wasted it or wasted opportunities.
Yes, yes.
And so, yeah, that's, like, a super scary thing, too, is, like, missing out on opportunities.
That's why, I think that's probably why FOMO is so big in this generation, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, 100%. I think there was a study that talked about how, like, people in our age range would rather spend our money on experiences as opposed to things.
Right.
Whereas, like, the generation before us wanted, like, a nice house, nice car, swimming pool.
Right.
You know? But, like, we're like, oh, let's go to this concert, this music festival, this hiking, you know, like, this cross-country hiking trip. That kind of thing, you know? We live more for the, like, the experience and the life.
Exactly. Well, and I feel like people take you more seriously when you're young. Like, I don't know. Like, they feel like you have more to offer whenever you're young.
Yeah, okay, I could see that.
You know, and... Or even, like, if I wanted to get my way and I tried to seduce someone right now, it would be easier than when I was a saggy 80-year-old man.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. That's just... That's part of it. And then your body starts...
The body starts
against itself,
yeah,
you know, and just...
Which, like, I'm experiencing that now in my 20s because my entire, like, you know, my knees are bad, my back is bad, my, you know, can't have dairy.
Your neck, your back, your pussy, and your crack.
All of those, all of the above has just checked out on me. I turned 21 and they were like, oh, you're legal to drink now? All right, bye.
Bye.
See you when it's time to eternally sleep.
My God.
Okay, so my question for you.
Yes, Jacob. I'm so excited. I've been looking forward to this all week.
This is one of my serious questions. Growing up in the, you know, the 2000s and through all of this.
Yes.
As queer people, particularly as gay men, we hear, well, not particularly as gay men, as queer people in general, actually, we often heard the phrase, it gets better. Told to us by A-list celebrities.
Yes.
A-list gay celebrities. A-list ally celebrities. D-list celebrities who just really wanted to get a following.
Right.
So, for you, at the current moment in your, at this current moment in your life, what does the phrase, it gets better, mean to you?
Damn. I think it gets better has more to do now for me with owning your own destiny than it does with waiting on other people to
right
give you the respect or the treatment that you want.
Okay.
So saying it gets better, yeah, that's just like, for me, if someone says it gets better, that's them telling me like, don't worry, you're figuring this out right now, but once you figure it out, you're gonna fucking mm-hmm. own it.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I think for me, when I thought of the question, like, I thought about how I would have answered it when I was younger, like, mm-hmm. 16, 17, 18.
Yeah.
And the way that they portrayed it when they told us it gets better was that, like, oh, you'll find people who accept you, and, you know, you'll move away from this negative situation.
Right.
But now I feel like the it gets better has more to do with, like, me accepting me.
Okay.
Like, the individual accepting themselves. Yes. Because it's like, it's kind of like you said, instead of waiting for people to give you the treatment that, you know, you want, it's kind of like accepting that you're already, like, deserving of that treatment. You already
yes.
should be having that kind of treatment, as opposed to, like, waiting for, you know, that group of friends that's going to let you be unapologetically yourself.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's really, to me, it's really about, like, accepting yourself where you are and who you are in that moment.
Yeah, I think it's, I think it's, it should be introspective.
100%, yeah.
I think so. Good. Good question, Zane. Wow. You get a gold star for the day.
Thank you.
Okay. So, Zane, if you could communicate only through art, no talking.
Okay.
Nothing like that, no sign language. If you could only communicate through art, what form would it take?
Oh, that's interesting. Probably, particularly right now, I feel definitely visual art.
Mm-hmm.
I would paint my feelings, paint my expressions,
mm-hmm.
or paint, draw that sort of mm-hmm. sort of path.
Yes.
I think that would definitely be for me how I would make it happen.
Do you feel like your art would be literal or abstract?
Probably a good mix of both.
Heard that.
I definitely like, I can see in certain scenarios where abstract would be more, you know, efficient, whereas
yes.
in other scenarios it would probably behoove me to go completely literal.
Welcome to McDonald's. What can I get for you? Picasso.
Right. Yeah, just like someone's face melting.
Right.
And like it's raining, you know, Big Macs. It's like, I think they might have missed the point.
Yeah.
They should have looked at the raining Big Macs and known that I want a Big Mac. They just don't understand.
They should know.
Art.
They should see the raining Big Macs and know that you want a chicken.
Right, yeah, no. But the buttermilk chicken
yes.
sandwich.
Oh my God, yes. So for mine, I feel like I would communicate through music.
100%. Yeah, I see that for you.
Yeah.
I knew that was what you were going to say before. When you asked the question, I was like, Jacob's going to say music.
Because music can be abstract and it can be simple.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean.
And God. You're good at it, so.
Oh my God, stop.
If you guys are enjoying the intro themes, break themes, and outro themes, Jacob wrote and composed all of them, so.
Thank you.
A little bit of shout out for your own for your own work.
Okay, here's that $10 bill, I promise.
Thank you. Okay, cool.
Thank you. So yeah, it would definitely 100% be music for me.
Okay. Next one, aliens. Do they exist and why?
Aliens definitely exist. I mean, that's just a given, because when you think about the math about how many, I mean, just how vast our universe is, of course we are not the only intelligent life in the universe.
Right.
Of course not. And on top of that, I do believe that in some respects, aliens have had some kind of influence or interaction with the civilizations of Earth. I think there is proof either in art, you know, I'm definitely not one of those ancient aliens guys that's like, they definitely built the pyramids, because like, right. Don't take, you know what I mean? Like, don't take the credit away from people who were enslaved. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
However,
well, I know, because a lot of people, they don't say that the aliens built the pyramids, but they gave the people like the math and the light,
right?
Like,
which,
here's how you do this. I don't know how to say, like, the tutorial, I guess.
But at the same time, like, once again, I think that it's possible that ancient civilizations could figure stuff out.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I mean, that's like the it's either the Aztecs or the Mayas or the Incas. I cannot remember which, and I'm so sorry, history buffs out there. But like, they had gazing pools, and until very recently, I thought gazing pools were for you to look at your own reflection in. Mm-hmm. But gazing pools are for the night sky.
Yeah,
they literally are there so you don't have, like, astronomers didn't have to like look, like, keep craning their necks up. That's just fantastic. And of course they were looking at these pools probably because they were like, when's the next spaceship gonna land?
Yeah.
100%. So yeah, that's why. Yeah.
I definitely agree. I think if you look across all ancient civilizations and cultures in general, they all have mention of like people from the sky who aren't like us.
Yes.
And so it's like, yeah, I think aliens are out there probably.
The real question is, are they single?
Are they single and are they looking?
Because, honey, 2020 is not for me here on Earth.
Yeah. Just take me away.
Just take me now. Let's see. Okay. So, third question.
Ooh.
If you were a deity, what would you rule over?
Ooh, okay. Is it too, like, hashtag relatable content for me to say anxiety?
Oh my god.
No, okay. Serious time, though. I definitely think I would be, I would definitely be a deity of friendship, I feel
okay,
like.
Okay, yeah.
I feel like that's a super, like, important thing for me, is, like, reciprocated friendship.
Yes.
So, like, when your friends love you as much as you love them, like, that would super much be my jam.
Because we always talk about Aphrodite or Venus, the goddess of love.
Yeah.
But everyone's thinking about just getting fucked.
Right.
Like, really, truly. Yeah, everyone just wants to tie someone down and just go at it for eternity.
Then you have, like, Eros, like, the god of romantic love.
Right. And but it's like, nobody talks about
Platonic.
Yeah.
100%. And that's super something that I'd be super good at, I think, as a deity. And maybe, like, probably, like, Autumn, because...
Ooh, yes.
I am that bitch.
Oh my god, yes. I'm also that bitch. I already have a leaves candle from Bath & Body Works, and a pumpkin apple candle, and pumpkin apple soap.
There you go.
For my bathroom, so...
You're gonna smell delicious.
It's... Yes, please eat me. If I were a deity, I would definitely be a deity of space and time. Honestly.
Yeah.
I know that sounds OP, but, like, that's not everything. Like, I couldn't control water.
Right.
I would just be able to look at the events of time, see how they play out, and decide whether or not, like, you know, like, could we just, like, maybe turn heel here and change how things go, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I think to a certain degree, everyone in life wishes that they had control over time.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most most sought after superpowers. Stop time.
Exactly.
Freeze time. Go forward. Go back.
And honestly, like, I did not mean for this question to turn so deep. But yeah, that's me. That's who I am. But also...
Fucking Capricorn.
I was going to say, I'm a... Also, Zane here is a Sagittarius. So that's why he's so mean. But yeah, also my favorite mutant from X-Men was Mystique, so I know everyone was expecting me to be like, oh, he could transform, but like, nah, honey, space and time, this time.
This time. Mm-hmm. Time after time.
Oh my god, if you you're fall, lost, I will catch you.
Oh, wait, I thought we were gonna go the same verse, it's fine. Okay, my next question. This one I think is gonna be a particularly interesting answer for you.
Okay.
Is there a movie that you lie about having seen because you don't want to have the conversation about not having seen it?
So wait, okay, so the question is, is there a movie that I lie?
Yeah, you're about? Like, you haven't seen the movie, but you're like, oh yeah, yeah, I've seen it. It's just been a long time, so I don't really like remember all the details because you don't want to listen to, oh my god, you have to see it. You have to watch this movie.
There are movies that I should do that for, but honestly, no, I don't lie because I'm afraid that someone's going to be like, you remember that scene when this happened? And I'll just have to be like, yeah. Most of the time, if someone's like, oh my god, have you seen this movie? I'm like, no. And either I'll follow up with, I just haven't had the chance yet, or it really just doesn't look like my thing.
Right. Okay. For me, it's most movies, just because I don't want to have to explain, like, I don't have the attention span long enough to sit down for 2 hours and watch a movie, and I don't, like, I got too much to do, there's stuff I'd rather be doing, so most of the time, if somebody's like, have you seen blah 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 yet, I'd be like, yeah.
God, and Zane taught me so much patience, because, like, I love movies, like,
I'm so frustrating to be friends with.
He taught me patience, because, like, and thank God, you never did that with me.
No.
To my knowledge, but... most of the time with me, he'd be like, no, I haven't seen it. You know, I don't watch movies. But, like, the thing was, like, sometimes he would just open himself up to spoilers. And it's like, I just wish you understood, like, how wonderful it would be if you would just embrace the medium and watch it. And then you would enjoy the moment that just got spoiled for you.
And what kills me, too, is that, like, throughout, I guess I want to say, like, the past 10 years, I've not been a movie watcher. Exclusively am only friends with people who love movies. I just want to sit down and watch movies all day. If I could do that, I would. Like, what? And it's every single one of my friends.
Now, that's not me. Now, I can't watch movies all day. And mostly that's because of... I guess it has, like, a little bit of FOMO. It has to do with FOMO anxiety. Because it's like, I would watch movies, except what if I don't do this? And then, so, anyway. But prime example of Zane's feelings with movies... I'm like, Zane, you have to watch Moulin Rouge. It's perfectly gay. It's perfectly fun. It's a lovely movie.
We're still talking about this fucking movie!
It's fine. See? So I turn on the movie and the Fox fanfare starts, but it's being played in the opening of the movie by a live orchestra. And the first thing Zane says is...
I think this is copywritten.
And I just... And it never stopped.
It didn't.
Ladies and gentlemen, and theydies and gentle thems.
There you go.
There we go.
That was clever.
It never stopped. It never stopped. Every single time, because that movie is full of copywritten music. Yeah. He's absolutely right.
I said a lot of times, I didn't want to watch this movie, and you made me watch it. You had to be punished.
And I was.
No. I mean, and it was a good movie. It just really, like... I don't know. I normally love, like, movie musicals. I loved Mamma Mia. I loved Rent. But it just never, like, at no point did the movie was I, like, yes.
But also, like, Rent's not a jukebox musical like Mamma Mia.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
It has original music, I will say. Although, like, the remix... Anyway, we're not... This is not this out is not in the musical. Moulin Rouge podcast.
This is a musical recap podcast.
Right. And I don't even like musicals that much. Like,
yeah, I'm the musical one.
I was gonna say. So, let's see... Oh, okay. What fictional character do you find yourself living as a lot?
Ooh, I don't... Let me think about that. You can cut my pauses.
No, it's okay.
Like, in the brain palace, I do a lot of times think of myself as, like, in the realm of, like, Avatar The Last Airbender, like, that kind of, I don't really know how to explain it, but it's just, like, yeah, just really that storyline and, like, the narratives within that story just really always kind of resonated with me, and so it's, like, I do that a lot where I will, like, look at fictional characters that I've grown up admiring and be like, okay, well, what would they do? Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times it's like, okay, you know, what would, you know, Avatar Aang do? What would Katara do? You know, those sorts of characters, because, like, I looked up to their, like, morals and motivations as to why they did things and how they approach situations. So it's probably those, although, you know, here recently, probably Steven Universe characters too.
Okay, and, like, just, like, let's all just clarify, like, it's not like a mental illness thing, it's like a daydreaming kind of thing.
Yeah, like, it's like a super...
Everyone, you know what I mean, like...
Right.
You gotta put yourself in these shoes, or whatever. I see myself when I feel like Jacob, this is gonna sound so weird. When I feel like normal, funny, weird me, I feel like Liz Lemon.
Okay.
Tina Fey, yeah, from 30 Rock. But when I feel like I'm angry or taking charge or being like an adult, I feel like Princess Leia.
Okay, yeah.
It's really, it's more than one character. Right. I can't, you know, it's like, I have multiple different ones.
Yeah, no, but, like, I definitely, like, on like, that note, like, I definitely, like, take my, like, the aspects of my personality.
Right.
Like, my feelings and, like, my thoughts and stuff like that, and I fully, like, have them split up.
Right.
And they're, like, as if they're, like, separate people that get to sit at a round table with me, and it's like, okay, here's the scenario, what are we gonna do, you know, like, and that's really, like, that helps me, like, cope and, like, get through situations as level-headed as possible.
Well, and organize it, and organize your thoughts, all your different thoughts.
Organizing without compartmentalizing.
Yes.
Okay, so it is my turn. Okay, so, this is another serious one.
Okay.
What does it feel like to be gay in a time when gay is only the tip of the queer iceberg, and there is so much more to say about the queer community than just being gay? Because we grew up, you know, where it's like, being a gay man was like the scandal, you know? And now, in a time when that's less the focus, and there's more, like, you know, transphobia and, like, those sorts of things happening, and there's just so many facets of the queer community, be it pansexual, asexual, demisexual, and then all the gender, you know, expressions and how those fall. Like, how does it feel to be, you know, I guess, like, the best way to put it for this question is just, quote, a gay guy.
Okay, so that is a very good question, but I think about it a lot. Mm-hmm.
And I ask because, like, I've talked to other gay people, a couple of, like, older gay people, like, in their 30s, not, like, older, but who...
gay old.
gay ancient. but they talk about, like, feelings of being, like, pushed to the side now.
Yes.
Like, almost kind of like, I used to be the favorite, and now I'm not the favorite anymore because trans people exist.
Well, because you... And that's the thing. I think about my place in the world a lot.
Yeah, as you do.
As you do. As anyone does. But that's just another facet of myself that I have to think about what place that has. And, like, the world's constantly changing.
Mm-hmm.
Let me also say that just because it is more socially recognized as acceptable to be gay. Mm-hmm. And, a gay man does not mean that we do not still face oppression.
Oh, 100%.
That we still do not face adversity.
Yeah.
Or discrimination.
Yeah, no, we're definitely not out of the woods.
We're not.
We are out in the woods.
We're out in the woods. But, however, everything is a little more... these days, we think of things in a much broader categorical sense. So, for instance, we have trans people that are more in the spotlight now.
Yeah.
We also think of... How do I say it? So, I may have a hard time in life because I am a gay man.
Mm-hmm.
But because I'm a white man, that assuages some of that, some mm-hmm. of that difficulty.
And then on top of being cisgendered.
Right, and I'm also cisgendered. Which, you know, like, I mean, it's not a suffering contest. Like, no, let's not. Be clear about it. Yeah. Like, it's not a suffering contest. You can suffer no matter who you are, but mm-hmm. you have to, like, that's part of knowing your place in the world is acknowledging, okay, like, at least I won't have to worry about this, or at right. least I won't have to worry about this.
It's kind of like a survival game.
Right. And older gays out there, the thing is, like, we're not being pushed aside. We're just having now to take up for the ones in our community that are now being more mm-hmm. discriminated against
more
than we
targeted.
Are. Exactly. More targeted than we are. We have to come together as a community, and we are the ones in the community that have more platforms than they
right.
do. That's just like, you know, exploring the idea of Queer Eye. You know, back mm-hmm. in 2003, Queer Eye was five gay dudes.
Mm-hmm.
None of them were trans. None of them were, there were no lesbians. That
right.
They called it queer, but it really, I mean, it was just
gay.
Yeah. Now, Queer Eye is kind of the same thing, except Jonathan
Van Ness
yes,
is non-binary,
which is great, and that's progress. However, you know,
yeah, it's
not,
still,
it is still not all-encompassing
and
the
a long
LGBTQIA+, plus,
yeah,
you know. And I know that that's not exactly, it's not, you can't just condense that down into a TV show.
Yeah.
You can't. That's just all there is to that.
Yeah, it definitely, it's far too vast.
However, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't represent.
Right, yeah,
as
no,
much
definitely.
As you possibly can. So, I guess to answer your question, I don't feel lesser than, I don't
yeah.
feel pushed aside, and I don't feel ignored. I feel like I still have my place, and I still feel like we still have work to do. So,
yes, definitely.
Yeah.
I very much agree. I think at, like, a point in time, it kind of almost is, like, getting to play the victim card of, like, oh, no, look how much I'm suffering.
Yes.
And then somebody kind of gets it worse, and then you kind of, like, have to step back from that and be like, okay, I have it bad, but not nearly as bad as,
yes,
you know, XYZ.
Yes.
And yeah, so I very much agree that, like, it is really time for us to, like, really show up and show out for trans people and, like, just the rest of
people
the,
of color.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we added, I remember whenever they added
the
black
and
brown.
Stripe. Yeah.
And at first I couldn't wrap my head around it because I was like, well, you know, I mean, there's homophobia in black and brown communities. But then
yeah.
I realized it's less so about the LGBTQIA association of black and brown and more so of their place in society.
Right.
Along with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That, the day that happened, the flag became less about the LGBTQ community and more about, like, the othered and the downtrodden.
Yes.
And, like, those people who are
yes.
kind of, like, kicked down and needing to band together and needing to, like, stand up, you know, with each other.
Right. For some people, there are levels of, quote-unquote, weird that people
mm-hmm.
are willing to put up with. Like, I guess for people right now, gay, oh, I can handle that weird. But trans people, a man who was born a woman, you
right.
know,
yeah,
I can't
yeah.
wrap my head around that. I can't tolerate that, you know. So, yeah.
And it's really dumb because it's like, why does it matter to you?
Right. And on top of the fact that there are statistics and there is proof
yeah.
that black trans people and trans people of color in general are being murdered.
Yeah, fully
murdered because they are trans.
Yeah, just for existing.
Just for existing. I mean, it's like Matthew Shepard every fucking month.
Yeah.
So, like,
and it really, like, and to hear people be like, oh, well, like, you know, that happens to cisgender people, that happens to straight people, that happens to white people all the time.
But
and
not,
nobody reports it. But it's like, it doesn't happen nearly in the numbers and the, like, the frequency that, like, this is happening.
A gay person has never killed a straight person because they are straight.
Right.
No.
Not at all.
Not
like,
at all.
Like, just, everyone take a moment to let that sink in.
A trans person has never killed a cisgendered person
because
they were
cisgendered.
Cisgendered.
Again, let it sink in.
Let it
absorb.
Sink in.
digest. And yeah, that's just how it is. Like, these are the things that we need to be putting a spotlight on and need to be focusing on so that we can eradicate that shit. Like, right. Get that shit out.
Exactly.
Any school of thought that, like, would perform, like, go out and seek violence against others for just being different should just be, like, cut.
And I think too, it's part of, I think part of it, and I think this is why, you know, I'm glad you asked that question, because it's an important question that needs to be asked.
Yeah.
Because it's something that makes people uncomfortable to talk about.
Right.
You know?
And now more than ever, like, we really right. need to be having uncomfortable conversations.
Right.
And
because, you know, once again, I needed to make sure that I mentioned that it's trans people of color
yeah.
right now. Because a lot of people don't want to talk about people of color.
Yeah.
Because...
No, they'd rather sweep it under the rug.
They would either rather sweep it under the rug, they feel like it's too hot button of an issue, but the thing is, like... They exist. They are out here.
There we go, yeah.
And right now, somebody needs to be talking about it.
Somebody needs to be defending them and standing up for them. Like, they are real. They are out
so,
here.
And
like,
that's the thing. So if people are taking you seriously, gay men out there, if people will listen to you, if you have friends out there, use that opportunity to make sure that they know that trans people are not only valid, but... they do not deserve persecution.
Yeah. Well, and even family members, if you can do it safely, family members,
right.
You know, loved ones, like, have those conversations because, yeah, they do need to know that trans people are valid and that they're in danger. Trans people of color are in danger.
Exactly.
We need to be protecting them.
I mean, trans people not of color are in danger, too. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, all trans people are in danger. The president of the United States literally banned them from the military.
Yeah.
So, that shows you
where we are,
where trans people stand. So, yeah. Good question.
Thank you.
Mine is a little less pertinent to culture.
Okay.
But at the same time, like, I guess it has to do with growth. So,
okay.
What is the hardest lesson you've had to learn?
Particularly recently is that sometimes you may not be enough, and that's okay. Sometimes your best won't be good enough for some people or somebody or a job, and that's okay because it's just not your time. You will eventually get to the point where you are enough for a better opportunity or a better person or a better, you know, but sometimes, you know, we aren't enough so that we can be enough for something better. You know, if you're not enough, it's because it wasn't right for you. So that's recently the hardest lesson I've had to learn.
For me, and I guess this kind of goes back to, you know, talking about my family and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of the hardest lessons that I've ever had to learn is that no matter how much somebody loves you, that is not enough to change people.
Yeah.
Love is strong, but love is not strong enough to always change people.
Yeah. I get that. I get behind that.
So, you know.
It'd be like that.
Southern sweet tea!
Yeah, we got real heavy there.
And
then, okay, so my last question is...
oh, wait, you had another one?
Yeah.
Shit, I don't have another one.
Yeah, five.
Okay. I had five. We did five.
Yeah, and I only did four.
Oh, well... I'm sorry.
You're fucking up on your own podcast. This was your idea.
Oh my god, so Zane's gonna take over after this episode.
All right, I'm out in the woods. This is a new host. No, so my final question is...
Okay.
What does it mean to you to have fun? It's simple, but it's difficult.
I think to have fun is to feel like the moment you're in is great. And are we talking about, like, fun? Or, like, are we talking about, like, fun? Like,
just, like, general, like, fun.
Because it can mean so many things.
Yeah.
But, like, also, like, fun is something to me that you're enjoying in the moment and you don't ever want to end.
I would agree with that.
And something that you can only replicate with certain people.
Yep, I agree. 100%. I asked, though, because, like, a lot of people, like, because I've asked this question to other people. I told you I vetted the question. Some of them didn't make the cut. But some of the people did, like, they gave me, like, specific examples of, like, okay, I'm drinking, and then these other people are here. Or I'm smoking, and these other people are here. Or we're doing, the, like, so it, I like that you went more, you know, like, general, like, you know, regardless of the situation or the people, it's the feeling. So,
right.
Yeah, and I agree with that, right. 100%.
Because I can have fun playing Mortal Kombat by myself.
Right, yeah.
But, like, it, what's more fun is playing Mortal Kombat with somebody else. With
right, you. That you enjoy.
Right, exactly. So, you know, I think... the reason that I specified with, like, the weird intonations earlier was because, like, there's fun in italics.
Yeah.
Which is, like, fun, like, memories. And then there's fun, lowercase, no caps, period, that, like, you know, you probably see on Grindr. Or, like, or what do you do for fun? Oh, play video games, hang out with friends. You know, stuff like that.
You get a
the
list.
Mundane, you know. But...
And that's a lot of what I got when I asked that question, was like, oh, you know, I play video games, I go jogging, I blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And so it's like, yeah. Like I said, I agree with your notion about how it's like the people, the feeling, the moment, as opposed to any specific material thing.
Right, because like, out in these woods, honey... We ain't just about the mundane. Sometimes we have to get a little esoteric.
Yeah, a little
sometimes we have to get a little ethereal.
Spiritual.
Spiritual, a little...
Mystical.
Philosophical,
yeah,
you know?
100%.
So, yeah. Yeah, that's what fun is to me. This podcast is really fun to me.
I'm having a lot of fun.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you are. He's currently tied up with his mouth... held open by hooks.
Yeah, I know. This is the most fun I've had, you know, in a very, very long time.
But no, because, you know, it hits those criteria. It's something that I don't want to end, even though, like, you know, I have to edit it. We have a time limit. You know, we don't want listeners getting tired of it. It's something I don't want to end. I can't replicate it. You know, I can't replicate each episode with other people, you know?
Right.
So... Thank you for coming on.
Absolutely. I look forward to being back.
I know. And hopefully, like, next time. Hopefully next time we'll actually have some, like, tea. But, like, honestly, y'all, and this is our fault, but, like, we kind of spoil the tea because literally every time we call each other, we spill the tea immediately.
Yeah.
So.
But also, ain't really nothing going on either.
Yeah. There's a hurricane coming. There are two hurricanes coming, actually.
I did not know that, actually.
Wait, really?
I actually didn't know that.
Marco and Laura. It's a double hurricane.
A double hurricane.
They're back to back. Like, okay. I'm not even kidding. Like, Marco is, like, approaching, like, hitting New Orleans as we speak.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Hope y'all are okay in New Orleans.
Yeah. Well, it got downgraded to, like, a tropical storm. But,
oh, okay.
But well, Laura, then... I don't know. I don't know what Laura's doing. She coming up.
She's probably not wearing a mask.
Laura!
I remember.
Oh my god.
I remember.
Well, Zane hopefully will become a permanent staple on our Southern Sweet Tea episodes. But he is not the only guest host that I will ever have on these episodes. We might have three or more, you know, not 100.
No.
But like probably 5. Like
well, yeah, we'll cap it there.
Right. But, guys, thank you so much for coming out in these woods. Please do not forget to rate, review, subscribe. And tell your friends, okay, these queer voices, they need to be heard. Sign up for LGBT mail by following the link in my Instagram bio. And y'all, please do, because I actually put a lot of effort into these emails. I put little fun goodies in them. And my current subscribers love them when they open them. Zane just gave me a look. You can follow me on Facebook now. You can also sign up for LGBT mail by clicking the sign up button at the top. I have a website, ontwspodcast.com. You can shoot me questions, concerns, or comments at ontwpodcast@gmail.com. And, yeah, Black Lives Matter. All Black Lives Matter. Black Trans Lives Matter. Thanks for coming out in the woods and into my closet. Or Will's spare bedroom.